Well, I don't know about you, but I enjoy reading the occasional mystery or thriller novel. Reading long, discovering clues, and making guesses as to who done it. I imagine that writing such a novel must be a complicated process. You would first need to figure out exactly who committed the crime. And then you would need to develop clues which the protagonist would be able to discover throughout the course of the novel. The challenge, as I see it, is to not be too obvious when developing the clues. After all, you don't want the reader to discover who did it too soon. Better that the reader is left guessing, wondering who amongst a multitude of characters is the guilty party. Now, I must confess that what I truly enjoy about these types of books is when the antagonist is secretly aligned with a larger organization, where we might see a conspiracy at work. Not only do we discover who did it, but perhaps we also learn that there is some nefarious organization or other individual which is secretly orchestrating events and pulling at all the different strings. This is something that, if you've watched James Bond movies, that film franchise has done over its lifetime. And in the recent film Spectre, we see that shadowy syndicate again as it tries to manipulate world events. Now, of course, in the world today, we have those who believe that certain powers, organizations, or corporations have secret agendas which they try to enact. Whether this is a multimedia company like Disney, some shadowy group named the Illuminati, or the very real Bilderberg group. Some people just like to believe that there is some secret power which is really pulling all the strings. And it happens, doesn't it? Someone gets in cahoots with someone else, and before you know it, a little conspiracy is born. And it is with this edge of suspicion that I would like us to approach the gospel reading this morning. The Pharisees, you all remember the Pharisees, they have been critical of Jesus every single step of his ministry. They have tried to dissuade him. People have already attempted to take his life when he was in Nazareth. And we know, of course, where we're going as we journey through Lent. But you see, these Pharisees, they are the ones who are going to make sure that Jesus is brought up on charges, that he is arrested and executed as we enter through Lent, when we get to Holy Week. Well, today, I don't know if you were paying attention, but these very same Pharisees who are going to do this to Jesus, well, today they decide to come and warn Jesus. Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Now, I don't know about you, but if I heard that someone was looking to kill me, I might very well get out of town. At the very least, I'd lie low for a while. That's how they say it in the movies. Lie low for a while. Let the heat go away. But not Jesus. No. Jesus doesn't decide to get out of Dodge. In fact, Jesus sees right through their words. I mean, Herod may very well want to kill Jesus. He did, after all, have John the Baptist executed. And while he might have been tricked into that decision, let's not think that Herod wouldn't want this troublesome prophet who's saying that he's the Son of God and the King of Kings. Well, let's not think that he wouldn't want Jesus out of the way. Herod casts a shadow over the life of Jesus. For the most part, it's a faraway threat. But you see, it's Jesus' reply to the Pharisees now, which is very interesting. He says, go and tell that fox for me. Go and tell that fox for me. And in uttering these words, Jesus does two things. First, he indicates his utter contempt for Herod, who only rules because the emperor in Rome has placed Herod in power. And second, he catches the Pharisees in their ploy. How did they know that Herod wanted Jesus killed? Are they in cahoots with Herod? If so, what are the leaders of the temple in Jerusalem doing having conversations with the puppet king that the Romans have put in power? Jesus sees right through all of this. He sees right through the Pharisees. And Jesus continues, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will finish my work. Now this and the statement which followed may seem a little odd. It's a weird way to talk about the passage of time and the journey which is to be made. And on first glance, we might wonder if, is this just one of those instances where the Greek language and the English language, well, they don't quite mash up properly. However, theologian N.T. Wright explains it as follows. What matters is that Jesus has a destiny to fulfill. It consists, in picture language, of 2 days' work and 1 day's completion. 2 days to cast our demons and cure our illnesses, and I shall be finished on the third day. Wright continues, no careful reader of Luke could miss the echoes backwards and forwards. To the boy Jesus, found on the third day in the temple. To the risen Jesus, alive again on the third day. And what is the destiny that Wright is referring to? Well, simply, it is to go to Jerusalem and to die. Jesus knows he must go to Jerusalem. And Jesus knows that he will die in Jerusalem. So he tells the Pharisees, go back to your master. I know where I must go. And I know what will happen. Jesus sees through their little ruse, this conspiracy, knows in fact that it must happen. That he must travel to Jerusalem, the city which kills its prophets, because the people so often do not want to hear the truth which is embedded in God's message. And today we are no different than those people living in Jerusalem at the time of Jesus. Very often we do not want to hear the truth of what God's message is. If you want proof of that, look at the U.S. presidential debate and the Pope's little interjection last week. We don't like to be chastised. We don't like to be told we are doing things wrong. So Jesus goes willingly to a place where he knows he will not be welcome. Jesus is going to Jerusalem where he will preach a message that the ruling elite do not want to hear. Not only do they not want to hear it, they don't want anyone else to hear it either. Jerusalem is a place where Jesus will face not just bodily harm, but death. It is then that Jesus utters the wonderful words, Jerusalem, how often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. What a beautiful image of protection. The warning is there, and you were not willing. You didn't want to be saved. The statement is also interesting for other reasons, for the images which it conveys. First, a natural predator of the hen is what? The fox. And Jesus names Herod as the fox. Go back to that fox, Jesus said to the Pharisees. And then he uses an image of a hen, foreshadowing that, yes, Jesus will die at the hands of those who feared the message that he was going to preach. And then we have the image of Jesus as a hen protecting its brood. It's interesting for several reasons. First of all, being it's a maternal image. The hen is female. But most importantly, this image illustrates exactly what Jesus does for us. When Jesus is charged and crucified, his arms extended on that cross. And under those arms, all of creation is protected. Jesus gathers us up under his arms and dies a death so that we, all of us, can be redeemed and restored. Jesus knew he was going to die. And he knew what his death would accomplish. He wished that Jerusalem would repent, that Jerusalem would see the error of its ways, that Jerusalem would turn once again towards God and to prepare to do the work of the kingdom. But Jesus recognized, Jesus knew that this wasn't going to happen. And so Jesus goes to Jerusalem to fulfill his destiny. Jesus goes to Jerusalem to take on the full force of the disaster which he sees coming. He goes to take on the brunt of our sins. He pays the price for our transgressions. Jesus takes us under his arms, and the one pays the price for the many. A reminder to walk in the ways of Christ, to heed God's call to justice, righteousness, grace, and mercy for all people. A reminder that when we fail in that calling, and we will from time to time fail, that Jesus is there sustaining us and lifting us up. That Jesus walks not only with us, but also with those who we have let down, those that we have failed, Jesus is with them as well. A sobering reminder of how deeply and fully the grace of God extends. When we follow Jesus, Jesus goes to Jerusalem willingly, knowing he will die, but leaves us with an image, the reminder of though the price of his death is high, what it saves, what it redeems is even greater, and it is each and every one of us who is protected under his arms. Thanks be to God. Amen.